John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Hello and welcome to the John Richardson Show podcast with added Angela Barnes this week.
Hello.
Welcome back.
I've stayed awake for the whole show, John. I was very tired, but I've done it.
It must point out that it's because you were tired, not
because
I'm
tedious. Not bored. Just, although Will had a few good yawns during
Will
the show, didn't he?
A few yawns, yeah. He always drifts in and out, doesn't he? But congratulations for staying awake and may I say, fully competent throughout.
Thanks, mate.
A really competent performance this week, Angela.
I could really phone it in when I'm tired.
We have to be relatively brief because I'm going to play football, which
K-O.
You can't say without sounding like an 8-year-old boy, but I've got my little boots in my bag.
Have you got your football
got
boots? Have you got your little kit bag?
My shin pads in case the bigger boys try and kick me. Try and kick me over on the floor.
Do you wear a box for football? I don't know. Do boys
I
wear
do.
A box? You do, yeah.
Yeah, I do. I've got one on now.
Yeah, you just wear a box full time.
I've had mine fitted.
People are always trying to kick you between the legs, aren't they, John?
Little,
so you've got to have your box on.
Little hinge on it.
Yeah.
Just that, if you ever hear me squeak. Anyway, well, that's gone in a direction.
So sorry, my bad.
There was none of that. You've been very good today, actually.
I've really laid off the smut.
You really
but then
laid
it's all
off
coming
the smut.
Out now.
It's all coming out now. But it was a very funny show. In my opinion, am I allowed to say
that? Yeah, I think
that?
We had a funny show. You were in a funny mood, John, I have to say.
Mood.
You were like proper cheeky, John,
I
today.
I was cheeky at the beginning, yeah. I don't know what that was all about, but it won't happen again. I apologise.
Oh, don't apologise. I enjoyed it.
I should be dour again next week. if anything you hear in the podcast makes you want to get in touch with us, it's John at Absolute Radio. Enjoy the podcast. .co.uk.
that's not the email address, is it?
Yeah, John at Absolute.
They can work it out.
Well, that's it.
It's like a little word puzzle.
You sound so bad though when you just go Google it. You know that? I think when people go on shows to plug their tour dates, you just
Google it.
Google it and it'll all come up. Or, you know, it's fine, isn't it? Anyway, enjoy the podcast. And if you want to get in touch, just type a number in your phone and see what happens.
If you want to come to my tour, Google it.
Yeah, do you want to plug a specific date this week? Or
Where am I this week? Andover, Horsham and Chipping Norton and Radlett.
Oh, there you go.
This week. So if you're in any of those places, come join me. Just Google it.
And if you're in the north, tough titties.
I do shows in the north, as you well know.
I'm only winding you up. I'm in a funny mood.
Oh, you.
Bringing some showbiz sparkle to an otherwise ordinary Saturday.
The John Richardson Show.
Welcome along, John Richardson Show. Angela Barnes is back.
Good morning, John Richardson. You just gave me a look that you've never given me. It was a look that was like, we're in trouble today.
Oh,
I'm
was
feeling
it?
Naughty.
I am feeling a little bit cheeky today. I'm in a playful mood.
You've really got it in you today.
It happens once every 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And it's happening today.
I'm so glad we're here to witness this.
Yeah, it might not last, though.
How long does it usually last?
Until people tell me it's annoying and then I stop.
Okay, John.
So, do you know, I liked you when you were depressed and quiet. You go and sit back in that corner and think about all the things that are happening in the world. How are you? You're sleep deprived. That's
I'm
always
quite
a good
tired.
Sign.
I was doing a tour show in Norwich last night.
Norwich.
And so and then I had to be Norwich.
Norwich.
Yeah, Norwich. And then which was lovely. God, the people of Norwich are nice, aren't they?
I've only ever had a nice time in Norwich.
So nice, so welcoming, lovely, really nice show. And then drove back to London, stayed in a hotel in London.
Yeah.
So I've had about 3 hours sleep. It's going to be fine,
That's
John.
That's enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's enough, 3 hours.
Yeah.
I think I've had about the same. I got really angry about Thomas Tuchel in the middle of the night.
About
I got to the toilet and got really angry about Thomas Tuchel criticising Gareth Southgate.
Oh, I knew it was a football thing. I should have just guessed. If I don't know the name, it's a football thing.
Tommy Tuchel, the
Tommy
New
Tuchel.
England manager.
We'll
come. We'll come on to football later.
Okay,
you're going to do your football
predictions.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's international week, so Angela's first ever foray into international. You could cause a diplomatic incident with your predictions today. It's exciting, isn't it? You weren't here last week.
No.
So let's. You and other people might not have been here last week. This is what you missed. And a woman would stand behind me and whisper, "Point to the duck."
I can't even begin to work out what that's about.
Well, we'll be discussing it again. That was a little tease about a chat we had last week about my hearing. So that was a hearing
Ooh,
test I had when I was a kid.
Interesting.
I had a picture of farmyard animals in front of me and a woman would move around the room speaking at different volumes, telling me to point to different animals.
They're different in the north, hearing tests, aren't they?
It was very different. They'd only just brought in the card. Before that, the animals were in the room and that was chaos. I'll tell you what, it was more, point to the duck and tell it to calm down, please. Last week, we also discussed running with buggies. Park runs and marathon, things like that. I declared I have never and will never run any sort of marathon, and Fiona got in touch to say this.
Hi, John. I know there was a lot of running chat on the show last week, and I just wanted to weigh in with some thoughts. Firstly, I've been running for years, not literally, and middle-class mummy buggies are all for show. No one wins, but it looks good on Instagram. Secondly, as for marathons, they are just a midlife crisis, Instagrammable attempt to exercise that will definitely screw up your knees. Stick to the grass and fields. Cheers. Fiona in Northampton.
Yes. All right, Fiona.
Yeah, that was lovely, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, you had some things to offload there, didn't
that
you?
That was a real gloved fist, wasn't it?
Oh, really was. I'm a marathon widow, so, you know.
Yeah, I
feel it.
Do you think you'll ever run one?
Absolutely not.
No urge whatsoever?
No urge at all. I did park runs for a bit. Ooh. I get bored. I can't be with my brain for that long.
Yeah. I did a woodland run this week. I went for a run in the woods.
Oh, that's dangerous. Because I broke my ankle slipping on an acorn in the woods, remember?
Oh, so, you've
got to be careful.
We also covered last week a thing called punishment meals, where you cook something for people you hate. Coral revealed she'd made a cat food pie for an ex, and we had a fascinating chat about whether the name Coral has declined at a roughly similar rate to the coral reefs.
Oh yeah.
And Deanne got in touch on that.
Hi John, off the back of the coral and cat food chat last week, I just wanted to say my mum's a coral and she wouldn't feed cat food to anyone. Although I'm really sorry, Mum, some of her creations are a resemblance of whiskers. She's 76 years old and we've never come across another coral. Anyway, we love the show. Ta-ra, Deanne.
Lovely, that.
As far as you know, she hasn't served you cat food.
No, that's
true. She might have done.
Well, she did say it tastes like whiskers, which suggests if you can taste the difference between cat foods, you haven't had the best culinary experiences in your life. Whiskers for the meaty goodness.
I'm more a kitty cat girl myself.
I was trying to think of another brand of cat food.
Yeah, so was I. I think that's one from the 80s that hasn't been around for a while.
That is exactly the one. If, like Deanne, anything we discuss makes you want to get in touch, it's 81215 on the text. You can WhatsApp 0301 23 1215 or email john@absoluteradio.co.uk. We've heard back on corals as well.
Oh, yes. Yes, this is... it says, good morning, John. She spelt John wrong. Are we going with that? Is that all right? That's allowed.
Well, we did say earlier on that I wouldn't read
I'm sure it was just a slip of the thumb, or predictive text.
Predictive text, absolutely.
It's good morning. Just driving to work. Got the tail end of the coral conversation. I have a 3-year-old daughter who is also named Coral. Would she serve cat food? Quite possibly, lol.
Yeah.
That's from Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
Someone from Wolverhampton. Yeah. But they did then text to say that the daughter, they were using predictive text. They made a mistake. The daughter's actually 30. Not quite as cute then, is it, the idea of them serving you cat food?
No, I don't think so.
It's
malicious in a 30-year-old, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think I would bother to correct that. In fact,
just left it.
Yeah.
Because then they think you're young enough to have a 3-year-old, not a 30-year-old.
Yeah, but then maybe the 30-year-old's listening and the 3-year-old probably isn't. So then maybe that's what it is.
And it's coral with a K. That's quite interesting.
Yeah, that is. Maybe it's the morph of the coral then. So it's not necessarily the decline, but corals have
changed,
shifted.
Maybe just change
it.
What other letters could you change in coral to make another name?
Oh, you put two R's in it?
Yeah, you could do that. You could take the L off, just have Cora.
What's corral like to make someone do something?
To corral someone, isn't that to... Yeah,
you do word
of.
Games. You're a House of Games champion. How do you spell corral, mate? Go on, then.
How do you spell it?
How do you spell corral?
Two R's, two L's, isn't it? Corral.
C-O-R-R-A-L-L. I think it's A-L-E, isn't it?
Two R's, one L, maybe.
Jeff's Googling it.
Two R's, one L, I think. Oh, yeah. I don't know now. Oh, no, don't make me...
Oh, I enjoyed that. I think
it was
my favourite bit.
Is it a Wild West thing?
Corral. Gunfire, the OK Corral.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. You've been all over. You've been in Norwich. We discussed that. That was fun.
Yes, I love Norwich, yes.
Somebody told us, so when I try and do a Norwich accent, it just becomes my Bristol accent.
Well, they're very similar linguistically, I think, which is strange because they're quite opposite ends of the country, but...
Yeah, someone told me it's the T sound. So, like, in Bristol you say a computer. but computer.
Well, my it's the ooh sound. So they'll say, instead of, my husband's from Norfolk, and so sometimes it slips really into it, and he'll say music.
Music.
Put the music on.
It's the two words that he slips in. Happens. Team have been to see Angela on tour this week, and
they
well,
have.
Cannot
you weren't
look
there,
Angela.
John. It's a shame.
I wasn't there. I'm afraid I was otherwise occupied.
Fair enough.
But I heard it went very well.
Oh, that's nice. Is that what they said, that even when I wasn't in the room?
No, they didn't say it, but some other people I knew were there. They hated it.
Right, okay, fine.
Feel it in the room?
It was awkward when I walked in.
But Will's a bit shy around.
Will's traumatised because there's some bits of the show where I'm quite candid.
Yes.
About things, and Will can't look me in the eye anymore.
No, I'm enjoying it. I would like to have a conversation with you about one of the things you discussed in the show, which I didn't know that you had synesthesia.
Synesthesia, yes.
Synesthesia.
Bless you. I found out I had it when I was at university, which is sort of a mixing up of the senses. So for me, it's called colour grapheme synesthesia, what I have. So abstract concepts, like anything you can't physically see or touch, mm-hmm. has a colour, right? And not auras, I'm not a hippie. I mean, like, so numbers, days of the week, people's personalities, any abstract sort of concept has a colour.
Yeah, I'd like to discuss it further, but I will put it out there. I don't know how many people are affected by it. I find it absolutely fascinating. But if anyone listening has a form of synesthesia, I think 40's got a little bit. Some people just can sense they're very highly charged about things. 40's very tactile. He has to touch things. But you're talking about, because the temptation is to ask you what colour I am.
Not going to tell you. I have a blanket policy. I don't tell anyone what colour, because people's personalities have a colour, but it's arbitrary. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But people get upset if I haven't chosen a colour that they like.
You can't upset me.
And so I get it all the time. People go, won't upset me. And then they get upset. And I have to say, don't get upset. Some of my best friends are grey. Like, don't worry about that.
But do you... Is it everyone? Do some people not have a colour?
It's when I first meet someone, there might be a colour. There'll be a colour, but then when I get to know someone, their colour becomes fixed.
Yes,
as what it is. So you have a fixed colour, John.
Do I have a fixed colour?
Yeah.
I really want to know what it is. You can text 81215 what colour you think Angela sees my personality as, if you want to particularly abuse me this morning. So somebody says my personality is.
I'm not telling you, but somebody said it's obviously beige.
Obviously beige. I don't mind it. Beige is in now, isn't it?
Is it?
It's all about neutral colours and that you accentuate with, like, things around it. Now, what you do now, you paint your house very bland and then you get, like, a clock.
You might.
Isn't that the thing?
No.
I imagine you've got a very colourful house.
I have got a very colourful house.
I imagine you've got a purple living room.
It's not purple, but I've got my office space is, I had these cupboards built in to make it nice, and then when the carpenter was painting, he said, what colour do you want it? And I got one of those colour charts from B&Q, you know, and I said, I can't decide, and I went, actually, can you make it look like this colour chart? So he's made it, and so there's like the red colour chart on one bit, and the blue colour, so it's just all like colours
like
of the rainbow.
That, Angela.
It's lovely.
No, I don't like it.
Looks really cool.
It makes me uncomfortable. Pick one and stick with it.
Just want it beige. Just pick it beige.
Yeah.
Why would you not have beige?
Because there's no structure to it. And it's an office space where you do work.
Yeah.
How do you focus?
This is how our brains are different, John.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
That my brain is different to yours.
But I would find that totally distracting.
See, I need that, but I need that to, it quietens the noisy part of my brain. If my brain's, that bit of my brain's distracted by that, then the grown-up in my brain can concentrate on their work if the kid's taken care of.
Ah, that's okay.
You know, that's how I look at it.
That's a very good description. I understand that. I can't be doing with that. I would just stare at that for hours and I would think, oh, I wish I hadn't picked that blue. And that blue doesn't go next to the orange.
Yet you never, ever doubt the magnolia. It's weird, isn't it?
Always magnolia. Yeah, absolutely. As part of the synesthesia then, do you find you want more colour around?
I sort of make decisions by colour, I've realised. And so certain things, like jobs, for example, that come in, I will be excited about a job that's red.
Okay.
But I won't be excited about a job that's blue on the blue scale, weirdly.
And do you think... Does the colour come before you've worked out what you feel about the job, or secretly do you think your heart knows a job you want and it tells you it's red?
Bit of both.
Yeah?
Bit of both. But sometimes I can't decide whether it's a job I want to do or whether it's a path I want to go down, and I'll realise, hang on, that's not a red path, so think about it.
Wow.
Because it's, yeah.
I find it absolutely, I really wish I had it, because I think it deepens your connection with the world.
It's a strange, well, I'll tell you, there's more going on in there, because I'm currently the subject of a thesis.
Okay.
On synesthesia.
I'm glad you said thesis and not police inquiry. No. That's completely right down that.
Basically, I experienced this thing. So, right, I'll try and explain it really quickly.
Yeah.
You'll probably look at me blankly. Don't worry about
I'm
it.
I'm doing it already.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, it is Saturday morning. It's early.
I'm still thinking about your office wall, mate. So I'm not even listening. Purple next to green.
So let me ask you a question, John. Where do your thoughts live?
In my head.
So when you think,
I was having back
thoughts?
At school then. They're in my head.
Just in your head?
Yeah.
And do they have a background? Are they... Because my thoughts exist in locations from my past, always, depending on what I'm thinking about. So there's some consistency to it. So, like, the example is, if I think about classical music, that's always on a windowsill in a primary school classroom.
Wow.
And I just assumed everyone did this. And then when I started mentioning it to people, realised they didn't. And so I wrote to a professor of synesthesia to see if it was...
What colour paper?
And, well, now I'm subject of someone's master's.
Wow, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
I want to read that. I worked once with a guy called Daniel Tammet, who has synesthesia, and his book is called Born on a Blue Day, because the day he was born has a colour and a texture, and he can do it for every day in history.
Some people have a really extreme...
He can do complex maths because two numbers are shapes, and the way they fit together is the multiplication and the addition, and he can learn a language in like 4 hours, so he learned like Iceland. Landic in 4 hours. I find it amazing, and I said to him, like, God, I wish my brain worked like that. And he went, well, it does, you've got the same brain as me. And I really wanted to go, no, but I can't do, don't tell me I can do. He was trying to be inspiring and say, look, I've just got a brain in my head the same as you have, so anything I can do, you can do. And I wanted to go, no, I can't, don't tell me that, because it makes me feel pathetic.
It's not true because people with synesthesia have, well, the theory is it's hyperconnectivity, so we have more of the connecting bits of the brain,
right?
And so more neurons firing all the time and different parts of the brain connected. So when you get like a stimulus, it ignites different parts of the brain than it does in a typical brain.
Well, now you've lost me then, because I've never had a stimulus and I don't want one. I don't know what it would do to my brain.
You made Will blush now.
Synesthetes. Synesthetes of the world unite.
Yes.
We've had
not just me, John.
Message from Halifax. I love Halifax. The Peace Hall in Halifax. It's difficult not to sound like Alan Partridge when you say something like this. Is it one of the most underrated piece of architecture in the UK?
Oh, God, it's when he starts talking about the bypass in Norwich that we've got problems.
It's absolutely incredible, the Peace Hall in Halifax.
I don't think I've ever been to it.
It's unbelievable. It's like being in a Roman amphitheatre in the middle, and it's accessible to 3 B&Ms. You can walk to 3 B&Ms from there.
I have one of the worst gigs of my life in Halifax when I was starting out, and I walked on stage, and it was back in the day when there weren't as many female comics as there are now, mm-hmm. and sometimes you come out on stage, you'd see an audience sink mm-hmm. when they saw that you were a woman, and this table of blokes just went, no, and got up and walked out.
Oh, my God.
I hadn't even said anything. They just went, no. Walked out to the bar. It's quite hard to come back from that.
Well, I don't think Jeff was one of those.
No, I don't think so. Jeff seems nice. And he says that he sees numbers as colours, mm-hmm. same as me. But although he's got them wrong, John, it's weird. Because he says, for example, 5 is green, which it isn't. 5's obviously purple. And 2 is yellow, but 2 is green. So I don't know what he's talking about. That's Jeff Featherston, who's from Halifax.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and do you meet other synesthetes who... I assume none of you have the same... Have you met one where the colours were the same? That would be weird,
right? Occasionally go... People tend to agree that Fridays are red for some reason and Saturdays are yellow. That a lot of people have got. Yes, and Mondays are blue. But I think that's because Blue Monday's a thing and that's got in our head somewhere.
Yeah.
So I think Mondays are quite often blue.
Saturdays are yellow.
Thursdays being purple, weirdly, is quite common, apparently. Thursday's purple for me.
Okay.
But yeah.
I like the Saturday's yellow.
Saturday's yellow and you're yellow and it's Saturday.
I know, thanks for telling me I'm yellow.
Isn't that lovely? It's made you happy, isn't it?
It has made me happy that
I'm
yellow.
It's not really. So. You know, like that, yeah. It's not really.
He's beige. We all know he's beige. So it's time for this week's one and only dedication. This week it's Dave's turn for I Love Your Butt, and here it is.
Hi, John, Angela and the gang. Love the show. I love to give this week's dedication to both my daughters, aged 10 and 8, Mia and Olivia. I love you, but why do you have to have your birthdays 9 days apart? Different bouncy castles. Inflating, deflating, inflating again on a whim at your beck and call. Inviting your school friends round. Party bags, balloons, food. I am but one man. I am beleaguered. I am tired. But for them days only, one day only, I turn from Clark Kent into Superman. I hope you have the greatest day. Please don't do this again. I am now going for a lie down. Love you both. Your dad, Dave.
Oh, I wish Dave was my dad.
Oh, what a man.
I like Dave. I like Dave, right? I especially like Dave because he name-checked me in the hello. You don't get that very often. It's John and, you know, and the gang. So thanks for that,
John,
Dave.
John and the colleagues.
John and the colleagues. Whee! There they are. But I've got to say, right, so his complaint is that his daughter's birthdays are too close together.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of his fault, right?
Like, yeah, I suppose so.
You can't really blame anyone but him and the mother of those children.
And you could argue that, you know, you get it out of the way, then you get the rest of the year. But
exactly.
I mean, I assume Dave is on tour as well. Anyone who can say the word balloons with that level of absolute defeat and fury. The balloons!
Balloons, bouncy castle.
Happy birthday, Mia and Olivia, from Dave.
Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
You're listening to John... Oh, that was too loud, wasn't it?
Oh,
that was too much me.
You had that cheeky look in your eye again then, John, for this link.
Sometimes this job, it just really strikes me how insane it is. I push that button there and I'm just talking to loads of people who can't see me. I don't want to sound naive. I understand, like, what radio
is. That's how radio works. Did you think it was just us? Have you just realised?
I find it easier to handle that way. But every now and again, I think it with stand-up comedy, especially on tour.
Yeah.
Sometimes you peek out of the curtain, you think, they're all here because of me and things I think.
I can't, it makes me feel sick if I think that. I remember when I first started doing the comedy clubs and I was at Just the Tonic in Leicester and I was sitting at the back of the room and I was doing the middle spot and I was watching the opener and I forgot I wasn't a punter and I was just having a lovely time and then suddenly the realisation that I was going to be up there in a minute.
Yeah, that's going to be me.
I had to go and be sick.
Yeah.
Like, I was really like, oh my God, what am I doing? There's been a terrible mistake.
It's a crazy job. Anyway, I pushed the thing up and I realised I had to say who I was, and that strikes me as also crazy that I have, you know, obviously...
Constantly have to remind people who you are.
That's radio, isn't it? You have to say who you are. I still haven't said it. So I'm aware that there's I said, I'm Joe, and then I went, no, that's too much.
So now we're having a conversation. Going, who is this?
I can't. It's John Richardson and Angela Barnes.
Hello.
And our colleagues. It's the smoggest time of the week, I think, Saturday morning. Other stations, there'll be a lot of, oh, so-and-so's done this, great, and they'll get a round of applause.
They're jet-washing their drives.
Yeah, yeah. Dave's been up since six, and he's redone all his receipts, and now he's happily married, and his kid's not been... Well done, mate. We don't do that.
No.
Do we?
No, we do not.
So I first of all invite you to tell me anything. I think you could still be a bit smug about picking me up. That video,
It's done really well, isn't it?
To the point where I think now, it's not one's job to worry about legacy or anything like that, but having done comedy for 20 years, I think I'm the guy who got picked up and didn't know there was a carrot in a shoebox.
They are the things you're going to be remembered
that's
for.
That's basically what I am.
How do you think I feel? I'm just going to be that woman who picked up John Richardson.
So you could still be smug about that.
Yeah, I felt great.
I still get people telling me how good your technique was and how impressive it was. Yeah, yeah. It's gone really well. So
good.
Is there anything else you're smug about?
Well, my smugness, it's going to be very easy for you to take down this, I think. But I'm just feeling, because the F1 season started last week in Australia.
Yes.
And I'm just feeling smug because I got up on Saturday morning and Sunday morning.
Not
to watch the quali live, and then I watched the race live 7 a.m. Sunday morning.
Oh, 7 a.m. That's okay. Yeah. I thought you can say you got up at like 3.
Yeah, no, I got up at 7 this morning because the sprint
China
race.
It's China at the moment, is it?
It's China at the moment. So it's a sprint race, was at 3 o'clock this morning.
What is the sprint race?
They do some races, they race weekends, they have a sprint race. So instead of three practices, they have one practice and a sprint race. And that, so it's like an extra bit of racing. It's quite fun. Some people like it, some people don't. However many laps it is, I can't remember. But
it's too complicated now. Let's just turn up on a Sunday, do your cars straight off. Whoever's doesn't work, they're out. That's it, isn't it?
No, it's fun, John. More racing, the better.
It'd be like having a sort of pre-match before the football.
Lewis Hamilton won the sprint. It's exciting in a Ferrari, John.
Is that good?
That's good.
Yeah,
it's good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's exciting, and tomorrow is the Chinese Grand Prix tomorrow.
Yes, so
7 a.m.
Will you get?
So I will get up.
Chinese themed breakfast.
I will. My husband, if you don't know, themes meals with the F1. That's the only way he can get interested in it.
Yeah.
So last week,
you realise you've taken down your smugness there straight away. I don't need to do anything after that. That's the only way my husband can feign interest in a thing I care about.
Last Sunday morning was lovely. We got up at 7 o'clock to watch the Grand Prix, and my husband, it was from Melbourne, Australia, my husband had made Lamingtons, the little coconut chocolate cakes.
Lovely, yeah.
So we had those for breakfast while watching the Grand Prix. And tomorrow, it's Chinese Grand Prix, and he has researched, apparently, Chinese breakfast. I don't know what I'm getting. I will have a Chinese breakfast while I'm watching the Grand Prix tomorrow.
That's very exciting.
I'll put pictures on Instagram.
With an exhausted and bemused partner and wishes you liked snooker. Today, it's another Sheffield themed breakfast. It's a sausage sandwich.
Served in a crucible.
So, on the subject of your smugness, Angela.
Yes.
I've had some information passed to me by producer Will.
Right.
Who says that actually the race was at 4 a.m. and the replay was 7 a.m. So actually you didn't get up and watch the race. Do you watch a replay?
What, today?
Last week.
Last week?
Yeah.
No. Well, I got up and watched it whatever time it was. I didn't watch the replay. No, it wasn't.
You don't like Formula 1.
Maybe I watched it at 4. I need to check with my husband what we did. I can't remember now.
You like Formula 1 plus 1, mate.
We definitely watched it live.
Yeah.
We watched it live, I promise.
You're not even bothered. What were they like? Ford Fiestas going around. Like, you didn't even watch the race, mate. I'll tell you, he's fuming now, your husband. What? It wasn't what? Even... Oh, my God.
We could have watched it at 3 in the afternoon.
We could have just Googled it. Going down the wholesaler at 4 o'clock in the morning, down the docks to get all the ingredients I need. So, this smugness comes in from our listener, Toby, after which I will be very rude to him.
Hi, John. I am incredibly smug. I just ran 10K and then did an hour of weights. Please drop me down a peg. Cheers. El Tobo.
I mean, that's shooting fish in a barrel, isn't it?
Yeah.
He called himself El Tobo. No one, apart from him, has ever called him that.
Yeah, Gary. Yeah. As a man who's trying to get Rico going as a nickname. I can absolutely tell you that nobody else is calling him El Tobo. I reckon do you reckon when he's out drinking, he goes, yeah, a pint in the old Toby jug?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to go in on Toby? Or?
Well, I mean, he's done it himself, really, hasn't he? He's come on this show, John, and said he's won 10K.
Yeah, but in what time?
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
He could have been running since last Saturday, from all we know, couldn't he?
10K cumulative across your lifetime, Tobo.
Yeah.
Yeah? Who hasn't, mate?
And it's very unspecific. It did an hour of weights. Yeah. Well, what? Everything's a weight.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, could have just lifted a coffee mug for an hour.
Yeah. Do you want a very specific slam?
Yeah.
I believe, actually, you're supposed to do it the other way around, so that you do the weights first and you transform all that energy into muscle mass, and then you've depleted your glycogen stores so that when you do the run, you're burning fat rather than burning the stuff that you've just eaten.
Oh, John.
Yeah?
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 What's happened to you?
Come at me, Topes. Did that sound like I knew what I was talking about?
Yeah.
It's gone very quiet in the studio.
Yeah, it's because we used to like you.
Yeah, it's gone quiet in either the sense that I've either said something very clever and you're all shocked, or I've said something absolutely stupid and the text is about to light up. You're a moron. Was that, you don't like me anymore because I knew that thing about what
audience. Well, it's just gym talk. You're not a gym talk guy. I don't.
No.
You'll come in next week with a bottle of Huel and then I'll have to leave the show.
I do sometimes have Huel.
You do not.
I sometimes have the coffee one because it's like a coffee.
I'm writing my letter of resignation as we speak. I can't work with a man who has Huel. I'm sorry.
Where did you think I got this body?
It's very difficult to say the John Richardson Show. Can you say the John Richardson Show?
This is the John Richardson Show.
I'll tell you what it is, I've realised I'm giving you a cheeky look.
You are.
because you're giving me quite an intense look.
Well, because I'm waiting for what you're going to do or say, because you just look at, you've just got a little imp in you today, John. Yeah. I can't explain it.
I look like I'm going to do something. You're looking at me as if to say, oh, he's going to do something.
I'm nervous. I'm on edge.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm no like, one's oh, ever looked at me do? Like that before. I usually get the other look, like, here it comes. Same old, same old. It's nice being looked at with an air of like, ooh, mystery. What's coming now?
I've never been sort of wondering what you're going to say.
Yeah. What noise is going to come out of him? Oh, that one. Richard says, hi, John and Angela. There is a series of books by David Baldacci with the main character who has synesthesia and hyperthymesia.
Oh, you know what that is?
I've just Googled it.
That sounds like
horrific.
The thing where you remember everything from your life,
you
isn't
recall
it?
Every moment of your life with absolute clarity.
I wouldn't still be here, I don't think, if I could remember everything I'd ever said and done.
Oh, that's torture, isn't it?
Oh, God,
that's no good.
It's bad enough when you wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh, God, that time I met Ringo Starr and I said it was like watching Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah. did that really happen?
Yeah, it did, yeah.
I already mistrust when I read people's autobiographies. And I think, how do you remember all that? You were four. You remember an entire conversation you had?
They're making it up. Have you written an autobiography?
They're making it up. No, I wrote a book some years back, which we don't talk about.
Okay, fine.
It was a bad time, and I took it out on the page.
Oh, I'm going to order that on Amazon.
I've learned to stop, because people have said, oh, I read your book and I quite liked it. So I have learned to stop criticising my book, because I recognise some people enjoyed it, and that's their opinion, and it's fine. But on the subject of synesthesia and having extra sensory perception.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's something else, but
that is
we'll go
something
with it.
Else. But I will update you, because last week I mentioned my hearing.
Oh, yes.
I'm becoming the opposite of a synesthete. Right. I just feel less and less emotionally. I'm trying not to feel things. My hearing is going. So I had another hearing test. Last week I had a hearing test.
Yes.
I was in the booth. Yeah. I was waiting for the test to start.
Do you have the little hand thing with the
little
button on?
Yeah. Waiting for it to start. It had finished. So she came in.
Oh, God.
All right, we've done.
You didn't hear anything.
Didn't hear anything in the right ear. So she said, go and have another one. So I had another one this week with a lovely young lady. She was fantastic. She said, she showed me the graph. She said, she said, here's where my hearing is at my age.
Yeah.
Here's where I would expect yours to be at your age. She said, if I woke up with your hearing tomorrow, I would go to hospital.
Wow.
So I'm just, and then we had a long discussion about how much I need to hear, because obviously I can function. I mean, within reason.
Yeah.
The hearing aside, I can function. I can hear people when they talk to me.
Yeah. It's just one ear.
What am I missing? Well, no, it's both. So right. I thought I had a problem with the right ear. I went for the hearing test. She opened the little door and went, did the other woman talk to you about the left ear? And I said, no. And she went, okay. We'll have a chat in a minute.
So how are you managing, if your hearing's that bad? So I wear hearing aids, for full disclosure, so my hearing's pretty bad without them.
Yes.
But I struggled for a long time without hearing aids, and changed my life having the hearing aids. But I found I was getting, like, in social situations and stuff, I was getting quite withdrawn, but that doesn't really bother you, does it?
Yeah, I'm there anyway. I can't work out as well why, because she said, oh, do you go to a lot of like loud gigs or anything? I was like, no. I go to my own gigs and they're quiet. Sometimes you can hear a pin drop, to be honest. A little bit too quiet. But and they said, oh, maybe the football. I said, yeah, I support a team. There's not a lot of cheering. There has been this year. But, you know, I've had some years when Ellen Road's been very quiet as well. So I can't work out where it's sort of deteriorating.
Do you think it's been like it for a long time and you just haven't noticed?
I think, that's what it is. And I think because I can hear the person I'm talking to, I don't need to hear anything. Like, I can hear traffic and things like that.
Yeah.
But it does, that made me appreciate it. I woke up the other morning and there was a bird singing. I was like, oh, I can still hear the bird singing.
Well, you see, that's quite... Because when I first got my hearing aids, it was mad things like, oh, I can hear the doorbell. And, I can hear somebody talking who's not in the same room as me.
Yes,
like, who's
that's
next
what
door.
I don't want.
Yeah.
So that's... She said, you could get hearing aids if you want. And I said, well, I don't think I want to hear the things I'm not hearing.
Oh, John, that's a bit sad.
I don't mean like that. I mean, obviously, if I couldn't hear a conversation or if I couldn't hear music or whatever, I would do something about it. But I don't want to hear people next door.
No. But the nice thing about hearing aids is that you feel like you're part... I feel like I'm part of the conversation. Like, if you're in a noisy pub, you're in noisy pubs a lot.
Yes.
Do you ever just feel like I'm lost here? But then, you know, if you've got a nice pint, doesn't matter, does it?
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's the point. I just wander off.
Yeah.
Where's John? He's just up on the roof having a think. He's just having a lovely old think about stuff. No, I do find that if I'm in a noisy environment.
But yeah,
I
think that's when it's quite good. Also, like with hearing aids today, I can listen to podcasts on mine if I'm... I'm listening to one right now, John. nobody ever knows. They're just on your hearing aids. It's great.
Yeah, well, I then went for an eye test as well, and that was a similar, like, oh, it's fine. I mean, you can obviously see enough to function. He said, come back when you start tromboning. I didn't know what that meant.
What does that mean?
I thought, you know, I've no intention of picking up an instrument, but apparently it's when you have a menu
and you bring it closer and further. I've never heard it called that, but I know exactly. So here's the thing. I'm a couple of years older than you. I'm 48.
Yeah.
I've got hearing aids and varifocals. I'm not even 50 yet. But I got the varifocals and the hearing aids both within the year after I met my husband. And I thought, you must have thought you married this, or you met this lovely young, within a year I was wearing varifocals.
Well, I tell you what, far be it from me to be the optimist. We've come out of the smugness where I'm horrible to people. What a lovely thing that when you met your partner, you decided you wanted to see more and hear more.
That's lovely. Yeah.
That made myself feel sick. An email's coming from head office at absoluteradio.com.
No, it hasn't.
No, it hasn't, no.
Oh, don't make me nervous.
Deborah, who refers to herself as ill-tempered old Geordie lady.
Oh, dear.
Which I think is a green light for me to do a voice.
Oh, even better. What have
I
done?
Let me just warm up. How are you, man? 20,000 years when I won a trophy. The good times are back, man.
Who let Sarah Millican in?
Well, I haven't won anything ever. Now look, what's changed? Right. Deborah says, hello, John. Is that too much?
If Deborah wasn't ill-tempered before, she is now.
Yeah, we're going to get another email coming in capital letters.
Deborah, what have I done? I'm sorry.
Not having the luxury of Sky. We spend all F1 race weekends avoiding results until we can watch the race on Channel 4. Imagine my disappointment, man. When I heard Angela tell the whole country which driver had won this morning's sprint race, I am a big fan of Angela and will see her on tour when she ventures into the true north in September. I am currently Googling how to heckle.
Oh, Deborah, I'm so sorry. I didn't even think. It just came out. And I was lying. It didn't really happen anyway.
It's too late, mate.
Anyway. Oh, that's a bad thing to do.
Sarah Jane from Chester. Unrelated, but I don't want to give Deborah ideas on revenge, but she says, on the subject of cat food feeding...
Remind me not to accept any fan food at that Newcastle gig.
Yeah. Many years ago in the 80s, I played pool for a men's pool team in Ashford, Kent. And with that came the job of being the sarnie maker, as I was the only girl on the team. Each week I was given funds for bread and filling, but this was forgotten for a few weeks running by the captain. The others thought it was very funny. So I'd run out of fillings and the only tin of stuff I had in was Frisch, a brand no longer available cat food. So along with sliced tomato, the team that week had cat food sandwiches for the game. Well deserved, I say.
Absolutely.
So,
sexy team, get fed cat food.
Absolutely.
That's a good story.
Good luck in Newcastle, Angela Barnes.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Literally.
Now, last week, we had a couple of weeks ago was nice, so then last week I had to be nasty.
Last time I was on was 2 weeks ago and we let people off.
Yeah,
there was none of that
last week. Holden went away last week. Paul Mortimer, ex-footballer, they both went to prison last week. Lots of correspondence this week, all on the same issue.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've had a lot of people out there. This tells you what we've had in. This is from Louise.
Hi, John. And the rest of the Littoral Police Department. I wanted to bring something urgent to your attention. I was watching Dave Gorman's Life is Goodish, and he spotted Lorne Spicer saying that kids have literally flown the nest. Is Dave working for you? If so, has the offender been arrested and are they in custody? Keep up the good work of policing the offenders. My little dark heart skips a beat when the Littoral Police bangs up another offender. Louise from Scarborough.
I like Louise.
I always get nervous when people use literal in the thing because I think, I don't have to lock up.
I don't
have to lock up a snitch.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
But Dave Gorman, funnily enough, you know we had a Stuart McConey last time I was here?
Yes.
And because I was doing loose ends with Stuart McConey, but he corrected himself.
Yeah.
Well, Dave Gorman was in the room.
So he's definitely...
Because he was also being... So I think he's like our undercover cop.
Let's hear the incident in question, see what he's up to.
maths around that corner.
But when we become parents ourselves and the children have literally flown the nest...
Not literally. Figuratively, Lorne, figuratively.
He's one of us.
Well, he is one of us.
He's one of us.
I tell you what, it's lovely to hear it get a laugh live as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I sometimes wonder whether this is dry old content.
That was, we now know. We
that
know.
That was an applause break there. Should we book Wembley now? Yeah. Central Police Live? Oh, I tell you what, the people love it.
Do you know, I've just remembered something. My support act on my tour, James Ellis, his name is, brilliant, funny comedian. And he told me that he thinks he spotted Kerry Godliman do a literally on this show, and I asked him to send me it and he went, I can't, I'm not a grass.
Good lad. Well, I think we put Lorne Spicer away. We welcome Dave Gorman to the Literal Police team.
Absolutely.
As a PCSO or something like that. I guess maybe an undercover officer.
Yeah.
If you
Although
spot
I don't
them,
think if you announce it on national radio.
No, you're not undercover, are you?
You're undercover anymore.
That would be a slam for his TV show to imply that was undercover. It's a wonderful TV show. And I tell you what, he dresses magnificently as well, does Dave Gorman. He knows how to wear it.
He's a nice man. I had a coffee with him the other day because
I was busy anyway. I was having a hearing test, actually.
He sets cryptic crosswords, you see, and I've started doing it, so he was giving me some tips.
Oh, was he? Well, yeah, I didn't want to come anyway. I probably couldn't hear my phone ping when the invite came in. Oh, no, I wasn't invited. If you spot a literal offence, the Literal Police hotline, not that anyone cares, is johnabsoluteradio.co.uk, whatever.
Saturday mornings never sounded so John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show with John Richardson.
You're listening to John Richardson, Angela Barnes, and our cohort.
Cohorts? That's a new one.
Our cohort, on Absolute Radio. Got to finish the thing.
Yeah.
I've got a thing for not finishing the thing, haven't I?
What?
Start the thing.
Yes.
I got
You're
to say
starting a lot of sentences today, John.
I know, I'll finish them all later when you've gone. Tidy everything up. We'll be tidying up the show at the end. That's what we're doing. Not the cleanest show on radio, but certainly the tidiest. Thank you to Kat White for the news. This is not a criticism, this section.
Right.
I sort of realised this week it may seem a criticism of the news, and it's not. It's about helping us to help you hear more.
Oh, that sounded too sincere.
Yeah, it was weird, wasn't it?
I don't buy it, John.
You can't win, can you?
No.
I get criticised for being insincere, but when I'm sincere, people don't like it.
It's worse.
Angela.
Oh, I just whacked a microphone. Sorry about that, listeners.
Angela, it's great working with you.
It
doesn't work, does it? So this is the news that wasn't in the news that should have been in the news or could have been in the news.
Yes.
I have a story here about a man in British Columbia commended for his thoughtful maintenance of a library book, which he's returned after 65 years.
65 years?
65 years ago. Robert Murray gave the book back, took it out in 1960. Do the maths for you there. He put a $100 check in there.
It's not enough.
Yeah.
Sorry, you say he was commended?
He's been commended for his thoughtful maintenance of the book. So he's looked after
it. He kept it nice, but he's stolen it for 65 years. I mean, he's eventually returned it, but...
He's borrowed the hell out of it.
He's really stretched the definition of borrow there
really
to its limits.
Yeah, he really has. Is it worse doing it to a library or a friend? I think there'd be a lot of people listening. If someone in your life who you've lent something to, a book or something, it's never come back.
It depends what the book is, because it might be, if it's a textbook for something, there might be people who needed that book.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember
being at university pre-internet, where you went, like, if you had an essay to write, there'd be three books and 40 people needed them.
Yes.
And, you know, you just had to join the queue for the book. And Will's yawning because I'm talking about library books. But, you know...
Books.
What if someone else needed that book?
The young. Shall I tell you what? Because I do think this is a slightly mitigating factor. The book is a 1931 edition of Camping and Woodcraft, Handbook for Vacation, Campers and Travellers in the Wilderness.
Oh, yeah, no one else wants that. You're fine. Your best thing to do would be make a campfire out of it.
Well, I do think... I was in the Woodcraft Folk. I don't know if you know
the
Woodcraft Folk.
Of course you were. That's a sort of hippie scouts, isn't it?
Hippie scouts, exactly what it was. Yeah, I was in the Woodcraft Folk. We used to go camping. There was an award for tidiest tent. Guess who won it?
I don't have to.
I won tidiest tent.
Do you know that no other Woodfolk group had that award, don't you? It was just, they made that award for you.
Yeah, I'll tell you why, so my tent was so tidy as well, because I wet the bed so everything was outside drying. So it was immaculate in there. Anyway, I do think if you borrow a book about disappearing into the wilderness, you've got to expect not to get that book back.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
We got the copy of How to Combat Losing Things. No, someone took it out and we never got it back. So anyway, well done to him. $100 check as well, I think. Cash.
Yeah.
Probably cash now, innit?
Yeah, because that's just, you've just given someone admin there. That's all you've done. They've got to cash that check. They've got to pay it into a bank.
Yeah, exactly. He's sort of secretly hoping they're not going to cash that.
Bothered.
That's why I used to occasionally use a check and think maybe they just won't get around to cashing that one.
Yeah, so always write a check for somebody you know is forgetful. Going to put that in their pocket.
It's a gesture, innit?
Put it in the washing machine.
You could have this money if you can be bothered to go out. But let's be honest, between us, what it says is this is how much I value our friendship. But if you've got someone in your life who's got something and you want it back, I'm happy to be the person that snitches. So 81215 033 0123 1215, john@absoluteradio.co.uk. Call them out. Oh, I don't know whether I can read that one from James. What's the verdict on that? You want me to read it? God. This is exactly the sort of thing I did not go into radio for. I said, I will snitch on you. If somebody's got something and you want it back, James says, tell Kate I want my heart back because she stole it 20 years ago.
Oh, goodness me.
I mean, unless that's actually happened, in which case, you know, someone needs
to get
involved.
He's done well to type.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know.
I want my heart back because she stole it. I mean, it's sort of romantic, but it's bordering creepy.
It's just, it's not for this show is what it is.
Yeah.
One should never want to shed listeners. However, he's not for us, this guy.
We can shed one listener, can't we?
I think so. Well, two. Anyway, well done to you, James and Kate. Congratulations.
Oh, no, we'll have Kate because she's already shed him.
Yeah. Oh, do you think? Oh, I read that they're together. Do you think they're not together?
Oh, now I see. Oh, no. I'm more bleak than you. I thought,
that's an issue for you.
Yeah, that is. I need to have a little word with myself.
That is a problem.
Oh, yeah, because when you say someone stole your heart,
yeah,
I always think of it as like being heartbroken, but it's not, is it? Because
you see it as like an actual thing, they've stolen it and then legged it.
And then,
then
gone with it and left you bereft forever.
I need that for loving stuff.
Oh, that's so cool. But yeah, anyway. I see. Oh, no, in that case, oh, that's worse.
That's why I said if she broke his heart and
that's
then
fine.
Left him in the, he's exactly who we need listening.
Yeah, yeah.
So some clarification.
This is some loved up dude.
James, if you and Kate are happily together, then I need you to switch stations.
Yeah.
However, if you're miserable, because he has done the crying laughing emoji, which again can go either way. It can be like, ha ha ha, we love each other. It can be, I'm absolutely fine, mate.
Let us know, James, because I'm now worried about you.
Yeah.
But if you and Kate are together,
yeah,
and this is then. What are you doing?
I just got to quickly snitch on Jeff as well because I realised in the notes it says you've got a 25-year-old library book. 35.
You've got a library
book
you've had for 35 years?
Unbelievable.
What library?
Well, school library.
School library?
Oh, yeah, you can't take that back now.
Yeah.
don't go back, please.
You have to put your shorts back on.
Yeah, post it. So, Angela, have you seen something in the news that wasn't in the news?
I have seen something in the news that wasn't. Oh, my goodness, sorry, we've just had an update. Live update has just come in from James, which says she divorced me. See, I knew he was one of us.
Yeah. Let's just say, James, you're exactly who we want listening. Yeah. You stay.
James, she might have gone, but we'll be with you forever.
I'm going to put you in a little roped off section, a little VIP section for James. We're going to have a drink afterwards, you and I, James. So, thank you for your text.
Oh, we shouldn't laugh at someone getting divorced. Come on, guys.
No. Okay. Welcome along, James. So we must, Angela.
Have my news story.
We must.
My news story is about middle names. I always felt deprived because I don't have one, you see.
Okay.
Well, I do now. Technically, my middle name now is Barnes because when I got married, I made my old last name my middle name.
Right.
So, but
I didn't know you could do that.
Yes. Deep point. You can do anything. You can call yourself anything, John.
Well, I find other people call me enough stuff that it's nice for me to call myself by
name.
My name. I have got a middle name. Yes, it's Joel.
Joel. John Joel. That's quite unusual to have two.
Well, I was known as John Joe. For my childhood. And then you get to that age where you want to be a grown-up. I put an end to that. I was like, guys, I just want to be John, yeah?
Yeah.
Stop calling me John Joe. It's like infantilising.
But John Joe's cool.
I miss it now. I think now, actually, I should have stuck with
you
John Joe.
You would have been one of those cool comedians if you were John Joe.
Do you think?
Yeah, I reckon.
And what am I now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, back to the news story.
Yeah.
So this is about the trends for middle names now. And apparently one of the trends is quite interesting, is that baby girls are being given their granddad's names as middle names.
Interesting.
I quite like that. That's quite sick. So you could have, like, the common ones they've given. There was Charles and... I've lost the thing on my page now. That's good content. Oh, Lou, Scott and Charles.
Yeah, they're all sort of... Yeah, my daughter would have been called Ronald, which
yeah,
I think
not quite
is less... Ronald or Anthony. I don't think there is...
Oh, yeah. My if I had a daughter, she'd be Derek.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, can't do that, can we?
There's got to be a kid. There's got to be a little girl with a middle name Derek somewhere in the world. I don't want to believe in a world where there isn't a little girl.
My name is Bethany Derek.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah, I like that.
That's quite...
It's a good
also,
name, Derek.
Another thing that's trendy is colours, because that sort of ties in with what we were talking about.
Oh, it's just like, it's so slick, this show, sometimes.
Right?
It makes me feel like I want to vomit. It's too good.
So, the blue, gold... Grey apparently is a common middle name. That's sort of setting up your child to you're grey.
Grey, yeah, like as in Graham.
Well, it's just grey.
Just the colour grey.
Just the colour grey.
Yeah,
I would have been Graham if I was a boy.
Would you?
Yeah. Do you know what you would have been if you were a girl?
Happier.
I very much doubt it, John.
No, I don't think so either. No, I don't know actually. I got to text my mum now and ask.
Yeah, text her and ask. Yeah. I'm interested.
All right. So if you've got a child with a middle name for a colour, what would I pick? Yellow, I think.
Yellow, yeah. But there
Johnny
you are,
Yellow.
Your colour. Johnny Yellow.
Yellow Rico.
Okay. Oh God.
Rico Rojo. Oh my God. Right.
You all right, mate?
Yeah, I've just come up with a whole alter ego. I've got 2 minutes to sort it out.
It's very difficult to say the John Richardson Show. Can you say the John Richardson Show?
This is the John Richardson Show.
I'm allowed to make the noise of a guitar if I want to, Will. You're not allowed to laugh at me for it.
It was a very high-pitched guitar you were playing there,
well,
John. It sounded like... Do you remember the public information films, the Charlie? Charlie says... Oh, yeah. You sounded like the cat.
Charlie says... No, he doesn't. I was a very angry child. Who would have been, apparently, according to my mother, Catherine.
Oh.
She says, if I'd been a girl.
That's a nice name, Catherine.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, happy
yeah.
with that.
Yeah, I think you look like a Catherine.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think. So, we need to name the podcast for this show.
I think Yellow John, although it makes it sound like you're a coward, but I quite like that.
Yeah, it does a bit. I liked, from Dave's voice note, I liked I Am But One Man.
Oh, that was
unless
lovely.
You hear it the way
Well, we could just have Yellow John, semicolon, I Am But One Man.
Yeah, mate. Well, yeah. Because of the synesthesia, the one I had was I See Red People.
Oh, nice.
Which I quite like as well.
Very good.
So it's been an absolute joy. Cracking texts and emails today, it has to be said.
Yeah, thanks,
don't you think?
Guys.
Some of the best content providers listening to this show anywhere on radio.
You've nurtured them, John, you see. You've brought them into your world.
Yeah. That's
it's lovely.
Shall I do it in my sincere voice?
No.
I'm going to do a really sincere... Thank you.
Well, brace yourself, listeners.
Can I just say...
You can't
laugh
it.
When you're being sincere.
You can't do
can
it.
I just want you to know what a privilege it is to broadcast to you. This sounds like I'm retiring now, isn't it? There's people listening like, oh, brilliant, he's going. And that you're not only listening, but you're also speaking to me. I feel like we are, in a sense, in dialogue together.
And stop looking at me when you're saying that. It's weird.
It's such a privilege to have you text into the show every week and make me laugh, but I am the only one getting paid. And that's
hang
fantastic.
On, whoa, what?
Oh, yeah, we need to have a chat. But it has been an absolute privilege, and we're back next week with more, so thanks for all your texts this week. Really appreciate it.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
There we go. That was this week's podcast. Thank you so much for all your input.
Sung that. That was lovely.
All your input. I have greatly. It's sort of like how you'd sing a hymn in school.
Yeah.
I'm picturing John Cleese in the film Clockwise.
Oh, I love that film.
He who would valiant be. I rewatched it quite recently, actually.
Does it stand up?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's difficult now with, you know, people change.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody watching my work in 40 years, put it that way.
Okay.
It was fine when it was. This has been a cracking podcast. Don't listen back to it in 40 years and judge me on it, because things will have changed. Oh, you can't say that anymore. You can't say a guy's got divorced on air and he's crying. It was before the great scandal. Anyway, we'll be back next week. Thanks so much for your company. We will see you 8 a.m. Absolute Radio. Take care of animals.
Just animals.
Yeah,
people, do what you
say,
like.
Take care of each other, but that, take that as read. So just be nice to pigeons this week. That's my main advice.
You're in such a weird mood. I'm loving it.
I'm going to get really beaten up at the football. Who's that weird guy on the edge singing? I think I'm going to skip at one point.
Oh, God. Oh,
like
I want to come and watch. I'm going to come and watch. I'm cancelling my plans.
It'll be on the news. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.